Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Father, we want to come in a very special way with special needs today. And Lord, I pray that you would prepare every heart for the opportunities that is now placed before us. May your word find special lodging. May the Spirit of God bring unique encouragement and conviction to every life today. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to meet together here in this place. May it be done in honor and glory of the name of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Could we begin today's message by agreeing on this point, this idea? It's not about me. Now, I know you agree that it's not about me. But I'm not just talking about the fact that it's not about Al Cockrell. It's really not about you either. In fact, let's start in total agreement this morning. Turn to someone and say, it's not about me, right now. That's not bad. Let's do it again so that you really know you mean it, okay? It's not about me, all right? Now turn to that same person and say, I really meant that. Okay? Now, that wasn't so hard, was it? What you've just done is state what might be the ultimate battle in life's struggle. Not the starting of it, but actually making, or stating of it, but actually making that idea, it's not about me, the reality of your life. You see, if that really were true in America today, the divorce rate would go down like a rock and sinking in water. Teenage rebellion would be a thing of the past. The economy of Buffalo and Erie County could be fixed overnight. Yeah, that's true. We could actually have two political parties in Washington that could work together for the good of the nation if it wasn't for the fact that most of them think that it is in fact about them or their particular political party. But it's not about them at all. I know that we understand, or should understand, that we come by this whole idea quite naturally. Babies are born with a natural attitude that it is, in fact, all about them. They really don't care how much pain they cause their mother to get here in the first place. They couldn't care less about the inconvenience they bring into the environment of your home. Recently, I was watching the funniest home videos or whatever they call that. And I saw the funniest story. In fact, it became so funny it was kind of tragic. But here was what I saw. This mom and dad were filming a little boy about probably 20 months old, 24 months old, somewhere in there. And he was throwing a fit, a temper tantrum. I mean, threw himself on the floor, crying, just screaming. And they were filming this. And then they left that filming and they hid behind another door, went to another place. And the little boy quit crying. But he walked down to the other place until he saw them again. And as soon as he saw them, on the floor again, and he started screaming. They left and went to another door. And he stopped crying. And then he walked to that place. And as soon as he saw them, he fell on the floor again. You know what he was doing? He was demonstrating the fact that it was all about him. The thing he was doing is he was training for It's All About Me Marathon. Now you say, well, how long does that last? For some people, a lifetime. And it shouldn't, but for some it does. 2 weeks ago, I introduced to you what will be our LifeLinks fall feature, an outreach and discipleship ministry called 40 Days of Purpose. As I mentioned in that message, the study answers the question, what on earth am I here for? And it's not about me. And it's not about you. The greatest men and women in history were those who either learned very early that principle, or they understood it from the outset of their earthly ministry. Abraham understood that it was not all about him When in obedience to God, he was willing to sacrifice his only son. Joseph learned that it was not all about him when God required of him to go through tremendous testings for the sake of his entire family. And many of people in that family did not have an appreciation for Joseph. In fact, they despised him. Esther understood it when she said in behalf of her people, "If I perish, I perish." David, before he was king, when he was facing Goliath, understood it because he knew that there was something greater than himself, a cause that was greater than him. John the Baptist, a man who grasped this amazing truth from childhood, actually, understood that he was forever to be known as one who was to prepare for the way for one that was actually greater than he. And he said when that one that was greater than he showed up, he said, "He must increase, and I must decrease." Wouldn't it be great if we could really learn that? And what about the man who was given the privilege of writing more of the New Testament than any other man, the Apostle Paul? Listen to what he said. He said, "I am least of the least." Paul knew. He understood that it was not about him. Could we all pray this prayer out loud together this morning? I put it on the screen for you. "I don't mind being set aside for His glory." Let's just pray. You can leave your eyes open. Let's just pray that prayer. "I don't mind being set aside for His glory." Could we do that again? Everyone, please. "I don't mind being set aside for His glory." That's a prayer we're prayed. And now turn to somebody next to you and say, "I really meant that." Okay? All right. Could I mention one other person to you this morning? Jesus came into this world. And you know, He had every right to say, "It's all about Me." He had every right to say, "Your life ought to be all about Me." But you know what He did? When He was dying on the cross, the King of Glory said, "It's all about You." Wow. What a powerful statement that is. That Jesus would live His life and die because it was all about Me. There's an old gospel song that says, "When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. The Creator of the universe laid aside His deserved glory, hung up His crown of majesty for a little while and said, 'It's all about You.' He was king, and yet He set aside His kingship." And later He told Paul to make this statement in Romans 5:17. "For by one man's offense, death reigned through the one," speaking of Adam. "Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Think about that statement. Jesus said, I've laid aside My crown. I've laid aside the glory for a little while." And this king, the King of heaven and earth, laid aside His kingdom. You know why? According to what He told the Apostle Paul to write through the Holy Spirit. He said, "I've laid it aside so you have the privilege of reigning instead." He talks about reigning in life, that we might reign in life. And yet, so few people actually experience that wonderful truth, to actually reign in this life. The reason why is because we're so hung up on the fact that it's all about me, and as soon as we turn this whole deal over to God and understand that it's not about us, we begin to really reign in life. Let me read a powerful statement by the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I want to challenge you today to stretch to a level where you have never been. I mean that. Go to a place, go to a level in your walk with God where you have never been. And I want this passage to be the template for it. First of all, Hebrews 12:1 says, lay aside every weight. So then he says, run light. That's the idea. Run light. Once the 40 Days of Purpose campaign begins, set aside everything you can that is not essential to the major features that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And what are they? Those major features, five of them. He says, set aside everything else for the sake of worship. You were planned for God's pleasure. For the sake of fellowship, you were formed for God's family. For the sake of discipleship, you were created to become like Christ. For the sake of ministry, you were shaped for serving God. For the sake of evangelism, you were made for mission. We're asking every division of our ministry to lay aside their normal activities, their normal Bible studies, so that the ultimate focus would be on these features: worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism. We're asking every part of our ministry, the ladies' ministry, youth ministry, children's ministry, lay aside what you normally do for the sake of this purpose, because it's not about us. What does it mean to run light? The suggestion is that we have a problem with extra stuff. So what is our tendency? We tend to think that the writer is talking about some big massive boulder of sin that just kind of crushes us. But you know, it may not be some major overt sin at all. In most instances, that which keeps us from doing the work, that is going to a level of spiritual walking that we've never been before, usually isn't some major sin in our life. It really comes back to the fact that we are still stuck on it's all about us. And, you know, maybe the reason why we don't engage is because we simply don't want to be bothered. Or maybe we're afraid of being embarrassed or rejected. Or maybe it's just the idea that you don't want to do something that you've never done before. It's getting out of our, what we refer to as our comfort zone, or could I say, it's an all about me issue. That's really what it is when we're not willing to get out of where we are in order to impact the life of someone else for the sake of the gospel. It really comes back to the fact that it becomes all about me. But you know what, this business about not doing something because we've never done it before, yeah, it really doesn't hold water. You know why? Because that didn't bother you the first time you asked someone on a date. It didn't bother you the first time you wanted to drive a car, or the first time you had your driver's license and asked your dad to be able to drive the car on your own. That's the first time. It didn't seem to bother you then. Or you went out for fine dining, or the first time you went on a cruise ship, or possibly the first time you ever flew in an airplane. All of those were first things at some point. Or maybe the first time you went water skiing or snow skiing. And you know, the fact is, you didn't know how to do it. But you know, the idea that you were going to fall a few times or look like a fool didn't seem to bother you then. So that just doesn't hold water. Or when you moved the first time, you moved into a brand new house, or went to a Buffalo Bills football game, or the first time you got married, or 100 other things that were first times at some point in time in your life. And instead of dreading it, you really look forward to it, and you're willing to go through the agony of the experience in order to enjoy it. Do you know why? You know why we were willing to do that? Willing to take the chance possibly of being rejected when you asked that girl on a first date? Or the fact that when you went up the slopes for the first time, you were probably going to fall all over yourself and people would laugh at you. You know why you're willing to do all that first time? Because it was all about you. But we've already stated this morning before witnesses that it isn't about us at all. So lay aside that weight of it's all about me. You know, I'd like to do it. I'd like to challenge 1,000 people to create an atmosphere where God could say to some seeking person, I love you so much that I did something that I had never done before. This is Jesus speaking. I did something I'd never done before. I died for you. And the challenge I'm laying before you is simply to be a person or a couple who would be a host and invite some friends, invite neighbors, invite people you work with, invite people you associate with occasionally, and simply encourage them to come to your home for 6 book discussions. And of course, the discussion is on the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, which goes back to what it's all about. That it's all about God. It's all about worship. It's all about fellowship. It's all about serving. It's all about ministry. It's all about evangelism. And to invite people to come. And actually, what we're going to do and what we're encouraging you to do is to invest $35. We have books in our bookstore. We have them on sale. We were able to sell them to you for $7 a piece. And to buy 5 of those, 1 for yourself and 4 for some other people, and just go to someone at work and say, look, at our home during a certain period of time, and that'll be, of course, launching in September, I want to give you this book because we're going to have a discussion about this book in my home. I'd like to come and I'd like for you to come and enjoy some coffee. And we just, Joe down the hall here, he's going to come. He and his wife are coming and just really engage. You say, well, what if I don't qualify to be a host? Well, let me just make it easy for you. These are the qualifications, and I want you to write them out, and the questions that I have, and just write yes or no beside each question. Would you do that? Just help me out with this. First of all, do you speak English? I didn't ask you if you spoke it well. I just said, you know, can you say a couple of sentences where somebody can understand what you're saying? Do you speak English? Number 2, do you have a TV and VCR or DVD in your home? Yes or no? If you're older, you know, you probably have a VCR. If you're younger, you probably have a DVD. If you're really hip, you probably have both. You know, I don't know what you have, but just check it, yes or no. Third thing, do you know how to turn it on? Yes or no? A tough question, I know, but you can answer that. Do you know 4 people or couples or maybe 3 people or 3 couples who do not go to church? I mean, they may be your neighbors. They may be fellow workers. I don't know where they might, but do you just know 3 people or 3 couples or 4 couples? And then the 5th question is, do you know that it's not all about you? Just write in yes or no. Now, how many in this audience were able to answer every question with a yes? Let me see. Let me see your hands. Wow! We got thousands, hundreds that qualify, Pastor Jared. Hey, just look how easy it is to be a host and invite somebody to your home.
Okay, Melody. We visited 55 houses today. And we've got, let's see, 2 maybes and a definite yes.
Oh, honey, I did not think it was going to be this hard. My feet are killing me. These were not a smart choice for shoes. And these books just keep getting heavier and heavier.
Yeah, I know, my leg's killing that dog bite right there. But let's just do 1 more house. You know, this will be the last one for the day. I got a good feeling about this one.
All right, I guess 1 more won't kill me.
By the way, do you know who lives here?
You know, I'm not sure, but, you know, Pastor told us to make sure we ask someone that we think doesn't go to church, so. And he also, did he say someone who has no purpose in life?
No, I don't think he said that, but just knock on the door.
Okay. Do I look all right?
Honey, you look great. Just knock.
Hello?
Okay, okay, okay. Where's the fire?
Oh, I'm sorry. We were, just... Hi.
What's your salad?
We're not selling anything. We're just here to...
Weren't you a prissy little thing?
Excuse me?
Huh?
No, I said that we're... No.
Huh?
Hey, listen!
Ma'am, we were just... We wanted to invite you. I mean, have you heard of... Do you know... Have you heard of the chapel?
Going to the chapel and we're going to
Not the song of the chapel. The church here in town.
Huh?
The church.
I can't hear you.
My husband's
got the TV up.
Ma'am, I said...
Bob!
No.
Bob!
Ma'am.
Bob!
No.
Bob.
No.
Bob.
I'm talking about this book.
What's
here.
What you got there?
Oh. Yeah, it's this book. It's called The Purpose. It's called
Porpoise?
The Purpose. No. It's called The Purpose Driven.
Porpoise?
Purpose Driven.
Porpoise is driving?
No. No. It's. Ma'am, just listen for a second. It's called The Purpose Driven Life.
Purpose is living life. What kind of a book is that?
Jason, pull yourself together.
Honey,
it's the purpose-driven life.
Why didn't you just say
it's
so?
It's a lovely dress you have on today.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, they just don't make them like this anymore.
They sure don't.
Yeah, here, honey, feel this fabric.
Oh,
just slides right off.
That's real interesting.
But back to the book. Have you ever asked yourself, what is my purpose in life?
Honey, I know my purpose in life.
What my husband is trying to say is that we would like to ask you and your husband, of course, if you wanted to come over to our house tomorrow evening and watch a video about the book.
Oh, say no more. We'd love to. You're going to have all the fixings, right?
Yeah.
All right. Bob! Bob! We're going to the neighbors tomorrow night to watch a video about porpoises.
Ah, well, that's two yeses.
See how easy it is? Not hard at all. It's a simple process. So, traveling light. Take off the weights, those things that you're hung up on that primarily have to do with you. Some people have developed the habit of attending church in sort of a sporadic sense. Maybe that's a little bit of your habit. Here one Sunday and kind of gone the next. And let me encourage you to approach this 40 days of purpose differently than maybe you've ever approached any 40-day period in your life. The Hebrew passage goes on to say, let us run not only with, but let us run with endurance. Let us not only run with taking the weights off, but run with endurance. So we're not only to travel or to run light, we're to run long. Let us run with endurance. The question you may ask is 40 days a long time? Well, the fact is, God seemed to think so. In fact, if you've done very much study in the Scripture, you'll find there's something very unique about 40 days. Noah's life was transformed by 40 days of rain. Moses was transformed by 40 days on Mount Sinai. The spies were transformed by 40 days in the Promised Land. David was transformed by Goliath's 40-day challenge. And Elijah was transformed when God gave him 40 days of strength on a single meal. The entire city of Nineveh was transformed when God gave them 40 days to repent, to turn around. Jesus was actually empowered by 40 days in the wilderness. And the disciples were transformed by 40 days with Jesus after the resurrection. There really is something special about 40 days. I would suggest that any habit or addiction could be broken in 40 days of abstaining from that habit and meeting with God just for 40 days, consistently. Well, even if you cannot see yourself as a host, don't miss out on the opportunity to at least be a part of a small group during that 40 days of purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, we really think that this can have incredible significance in your life by going through this experience together. And so even if you can't be a host, if you can't see yourself as having a place and providing a place where people can come, at least go to one of those places. We're not trying to replace Life Links. That's not the intent. But we do need for you to register to be a part of a small group. And if you look in your praise folder for just a moment, there are three opportunities that are mentioned there. And in that praise folder, that perforated section that we're always talking about for visitors, well, on the back side of that, there's a Life Links fall feature, 40 Days of Purpose. Put your name and address and a phone number there, an email address if you have it. And simply say, I want to join a prayer group to pray for the 40 Days campaign. Everyone here can do that. Or maybe I want to join a small group. Or possibly I'm willing to be a 40-day host. Take that, fill it out for us. We would appreciate it. And check one of those today. Those of you who are LifeLink leaders, you have people in your LifeLinks that would make wonderful hosts. And as a leader, that's what we call you, as a LifeLink leader, ask them to be a host for 40 days. And if you're called to be a leader, then be that leader. You might ask the question, is that kind of pushy? Well, it's all perspective. Here's reality about any church, typically. 80% of the average church across America basically has people, congregants in it, who are not engaged in ministry. 80%. That means 20% of the people, generally speaking, are doing the bulk of the work. I want you to know that we are very pleased here at the chapel. That is not true here. In fact, we have over 400 people just involved in King's World alone. And if you took the choir and the drama department, there are another 250 people involved in that on a weekly basis. And then if you go into the Christmas season and understand the number of people volunteering for the Living Singing Christmas Tree, there are over 500 people that volunteer for that. Just the tech team alone includes dozens and dozens of people. So thank God, here at the chapel, we're not one of those 80% unengaged and 20% engaged. But the fact is, there's something interesting about that 80%. That 80%, according to research, 70% of those people would become engaged if someone would personally ask them to become involved. Now, I'm going to do something that is a little risky, frankly, but I did it in the first service, and it worked out, and I'm going to do it in this service, and no one in this room knows where I'm coming right now. There may be some people a little scared that I'm going to come to you, but the fact is, no one in this room, I haven't talked with anyone about this, And I'm just going to choose somebody out of the audience and ask them a question or two, and that'll be it. I'm going to come right here. I see you guys here all the time, so would you two stand, please? Okay, would you stand up just for a second? Tell me your name.
John Gannon.
John?
Janet Gannon.
Janet. John and Janet. And you guys have been coming how long?
About 3 years.
About 3 years. I've been seeing you, and you're faithful. I see you here all the time. Are you guys a part of a LifeLink group?
Yes,
you are. Are you a leader of a LifeLink group?
No.
You're not. All right. So that's good. I'm glad I'm talking to you, John. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If I took the time to personally give you some specialized training for a small group, I mean, sit down and say, this is exactly how you do it. And then I committed to you to pray for you every day for 40 days. Would you be a host for this 40 Days of Purpose? Would you be willing to do that? All right?
Yes.
They just volunteered to do it. All right. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this, put your name, John and Janet, information, and we'll contact you, and I'll keep my promise. I will personally train you.
Pray hard. And
I will pray very hard for you, okay? And I'll pray every day for those 40 days for you. And I'm going to tell you what God's going to do. God is going to revolutionize your life through this particular experience. And I thank you for being a part of the team, all right? Now, John and Janet did something that a whole bunch of you, hundreds of you, need to do. And I can't come to all of you and do that same thing, but here is our commitment. We will personally train you. I will be involved in the training of the group. We're going to bring groups together, personally train you for that purpose. And then we are going to have a prayer team that will pray for you every day for those 40 days. Now, the couples I've chosen today, I've committed to myself personally to pray for them for that 40 days. So the idea is they're going to run long. They're going to keep that commitment for 40 days. It'll begin in the month of September. And God will do a wonderful thing in their lives as well as a wonderful thing in the lives of people that they will impact. Now, one last thing I want to share with you this morning. The third thing is run looking. Run looking. Looking unto Jesus, the author says, of the finisher of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus. You know, when my faith is limping, and sometimes it does, sometimes my faith is small and doubts begin to creep in. You know what I do? I look to Jesus. When I become weary in what Paul says in well-doing, and I do, I become weary occasionally, in well-doing, then I look to Jesus. When I begin to get hung up on, it's all about me. And I do that. Occasionally I get hung up on the fact it's all about me. You can talk to Janie and she'll tell you that, yeah, he does. He gets hung up on the fact that sometimes it's all about him. You know what I do to escape that dilemma? I go to Jesus Christ. Remember what Pastor Jerry said about digging holes last week? What an incredible message he brought last week on digging holes. And you remember what he was talking about? That's a great thought. He talked about how as people would go through the desert places of life and difficulties, that they're not just struggling to make it through on their own, but in the process they're digging some holes. And then they go on to the next place and dig more holes. And then he talked about how God would begin to rain out his blessings and people following after them would come along. And in the middle of that desert, they'd find this pool of water. And it was there because someone went before them and dug a hole. I got to thinking about that message this week and pondering on it. And Pastor Jerry, my mind went to the well that Jacob dug, because one day Jacob, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, began to dig in a desert place. He began to dig a hole, and he continued digging. And you know what happened? He dug until that hole became a well. It's known even today, it exists today, as Jacob's Well. And hundreds and thousands of people traveling that way have drunk of that well. Hundreds of years. But you know, a unique thing happened at that well. One day Jesus came to that very well that Jacob... How would you like to dig a hole where Jesus one day would show up? But you see, you can only do that if you're engaged. And you can only do that if you're recognizing a responsibility to dig a hole for somebody else. That's the reason why this host and hostess thing is so vital, so important. It's digging a hole. And Jesus showed up. And this lady was at the well. All of her life, she had been sustained by the water of this well. And Jesus came by one day and he said, would you draw me some water to drink? And she was amazed at that. And the reason is because she was a Samaritan and he was Jewish. And they just didn't have anything to do with one another. But of course, Jesus had something to do with everybody. He didn't have any prejudice as most people have. And so he said, would you just give me some water? And she said, why is it you being a Jew would ask water from me, a Samaritan? And then he answered the question way beyond her question. He said, well, the fact is, I've been doing some digging myself. And I've dug a well that if you'll drink of the well that I'll give to you, you'll never thirst again. And that lady launched an evangelistic movement in that city that was so impactful that the whole city came. Simply because Jacob, hundreds of years before, dug a well. And God is challenging us today, ladies and gentlemen, to dig a well. And I just believe with all my heart that God has chosen this time in the history of the chapel for hundreds of us to go dig wells. And wouldn't it be a marvelous thing if through this process, this fall, when we enter into this 40 days of purpose, when there will be some people set aside some times of prayer and fasting, and others will do without other things during that 40 days, but we make this such a momentous time in the life of the chapel that we begin to dig holes so that thousands and thousands and thousands of people will come and drink water, the water of life, from those holes that we leave behind, because we're willing to get out of our comfort zone for the sake of the fact that it's not all about us. It's all about Jesus Christ. And so I want you to know that this isn't just a campaign to be doing a campaign. We think it's the timing of God Almighty. It's as significant as other times in the history of mankind when God did some amazing things in the lives of people. And He's wanting to do amazing things in your life as well. You know what? Just hearing that story about Jacob's well and how he began to dig a hole and it became a well. And it became a well for thousands of people. And just hearing the story of how Jesus showed up there one day and talked about a well like no other well motivates me to want to go dig some wells, dig some holes. I hope it does you. But you know, there's another feature to this story, and it's this. There's some people who have come to this service today, and the fact is, someone has dug some wells for you. Now, I don't know why. I don't know what the motivation was for you to come here today. Don't know why. Don't know if it was just a friend's invitation, curiosity, whatever it might have been. But a number of you are here for the first time. But I'm not just talking about those. I'm talking about people who may come on a fairly regular basis. And yet you have begun to understand that someone back there dug some wells of opportunity. This whole place is a result of some people digging holes. And you know what? It's not just so we can come and look around and say, wow, I'm kind of overwhelmed with the beauty of this place. But really, it's all about finding that well that Jesus talked about, the well of water that springs up and it will give you everlasting life. Say, how do I discover that well? Well, I think you have discovered it. The issue is now, are you willing to drink from it? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. This morning, as we come to a conclusion of this service, I want to ask that hundreds of you just put your yes out before God and say, God, I'm willing to dig. I'm willing to dig some holes. I'm willing to, I stated it when we started, it's not about me. And whatever those points of anxiety might be that would keep me from engaging, I lay all those aside today because I see that the most important thing for me to do is to dig some holes and become a part of this 40 days of purpose. But you know, it may be that you're here and you know about that well. But for some reason, you've never drank from that well. The well that Jesus talked about, which of course was Himself. He says, I'm the water of life. You drink from this well and you'll never thirst again. And what He meant by that is that if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that settles the issue of your eternity forever. If you'd like to do that today, while our heads are bowed, would you just pray something like this to God? Just pray it in your own mind and heart. Something like this. Dear God, I really need to drink from that well. I've known about the well for a long time. I've known about it religiously. I've known about it by attending church. I've known about it by stories I've heard. But God, I, I got to admit to you today, because I've kind of wanted my own way, I've never drank from it. Today I want to confess to you that it's not about me. It's all about you. And today I drink from that well. I accept you as my personal Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Give me the kind of fulfillment, the kind of experience in life that you really have designed me for. I'm empty today, and I would like to experience your filling, your fulfillment. So I confess my desperation for you. I know I don't deserve this, but I desperately need it. So Lord, come into my life. Change me. Change me forever. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you prayed something like that to God, would you say right now, "Pastor Al, today I really believe in my heart I settled an eternal issue. And I'm not ashamed of that. And I'm going to lift my hand just to indicate to you that I have in fact prayed that prayer." Would you do that wherever you're seated in this audience? Just raise it up and let me see it. And God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Here's what I want you to do. We're all going to stand right now. Everyone is standing. Pastor Jerry's going to be standing right here in this center section, the center aisle. If you prayed that prayer with me a moment ago, would you come and just take him by the hand and say, "I prayed that prayer with Pastor Al just a moment ago." And we want to give you some information that will continue to encourage you. Someone will have a word of prayer with you and you can be on your way. But right now, would you just join us together as we sing? Join Russell as we sing together as the invitation is extended.
Holy Spirit, rain.
Holy Spirit, rain down. Would you come right now? If you made that decision, would you come right now?
Rain down, oh Comforter and friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit,
just sing it with us.
Rain, rain, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word, Holy Spirit.
Father, as we come to you today, we want to thank you for just speaking to our hearts. And Lord, we do pray that the Spirit of God would come and rest upon each of us. Lord, for those who have prayed that prayer with us today, dear God, I pray that you would give them the courage and the desire to just continue on from here, to be one that runs with endurance the long haul. I pray, dear God, your blessings upon each one. I pray, dear God, that you would dismiss us now with your blessings from this moment. And, dear God, may you use this day for your glory and for your honor. We pray in Christ's name.